Our scripture from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8 is a familiar passage, and yet one that we seem to struggle to live by. Listen, hear once more the word of God. The prophet spoke when he said, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Then from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, a passage often referred to as the Great Commission. Hear the word of God once more. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, what in God's name are we doing? We humans know so much, or at least we think that we know so much, and yet when the living God confronts us as Jesus Christ, God with us, Son of God, present here on earth, then sometimes we're confused and mystified and full of questions. We come to know that we don't really know, and in that lack of knowledge may be the path of true wisdom of the triune God. Today is Trinity Sunday in our liturgical calendar, when we celebrate God in three persons, a triune God who has come to us as Creator, Father, the Redeemer, Son, and the Sustainer, Holy Spirit. It's a tough Sunday for preachers, particularly if we have the notion that it's our job to help you figure this triune God out. How God comes to us in the presence of a creative parent, or an incarnate Son, or the powerful Holy Spirit. Well, that's a mysterious matter to fully comprehend. So maybe the point is not to help you better understand Christianity or the triune God, but to help you enter in or move more deeply into your relationship with this life-giving triune God. To say it another way, maybe the point is not to comprehend the Trinitarian God, but rather to help you lean in to the mystery and love of this triune God, and to learn to love God more deeply, and to live in the creative tension within the holy dance of the Trinity. Within that holy dance, God seamlessly is God, acting and loving and giving and saving and creating as one God known and experienced in the One. One God in three persons, Creator God, Redeemer God, Sustainer God, or call them parent, child, and spirit. In the closing scene of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, meets the disciples on the mountaintop in Galilee, and we catch a glimpse of their true humanity. Now, the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They have lived through his crucifixion, and they have seen him on the other side of the resurrection. And yet, as they greet him on this day on the mountaintop, once more, some doubt what they're experiencing. Can you believe it? For all they had experienced, some still had doubt. Well, it gives me hope as an imperfect human follower of Jesus living in a COVID-19 pandemic world where racism, bigotry, and violence have erupted again across our nation, to know that I'm not the only one who's doubting what I'm seeing or wondering, where is God in the midst of all this continued craziness and mayhem in the year 2020? Jesus' first disciples give me permission to doubt, which isn't by any means a loss of faith, but it's just a deep distress of the soul that leaves me wondering aloud, how long, O Lord, will we humans practice hatred and violence against our fellow human beings, blacks, Hispanics, Muslims, Asians, Eastern Indians, Native Americans, all colors, all races who make up the one human race? Jill Duffield, who's the editor of the Presbyterian Outlook, wrote of this passage this week saying, I feel like I need to cry out to God. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm worshiping you, but I confess I wrestle with doubt. Is it okay to preach and teach and baptize and tell the story of salvation while still harboring some dismay, some profound what-ifs and why-nots? It seems to me this Matthew text says yes to those questions, that one little sentence fragment that says, but some doubted, gives us the grace to do our best to fulfill the risen Christ commission, even when we feel weary or disheartened or overwhelmed and unsure. Some doubted. Jesus promised to never leave them anyway. That's the one gift, one of the gifts of the Trinity, that we are not in this life alone. We are in relationship, not just with each other, but with our covenant-making, unwavering God. Cynthia Rigby wrote in her book entitled Holding Faith, A Practical Introduction to Christian Doctrine, that to confess God is as triune is to recognize God actually shares life with us, inviting us to share life with God. To confess God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, she says, is to insist that God is present and involved in our day-to-day lives. So our discipleship, our mission, our relationships, the state of the world, the state of our hearts are not solely or even mostly dependent on our state of mind at any given moment. Jesus is present, the Spirit at work, and God ever creating, no matter our doubts, despair, or distractions. We can yet worship and still preach and teach and baptize, even when we wonder what God is up to and where God is or how all this will unfold. These are the things we can be doing in God's name as we work for peace and justice and kindness in our raging world today. Jesus sends us out into the world not to be unmoved or unquestioning, but to be in relationship, deep relationship, mutual relationship with one another, as interconnected and indivisible as the Trinity is. Rigby puts it this way. She says, as Father, Son, and Spirit indwell one another's lives and actions, sharing fellowship and joining in ongoing partnership, so we are claimed by the triune God of love, and we are free to indwell the lives of others, entering into fellowship and partnership and relationships with them. And then Jill Duffield urges us forward, saying, as we wrestle with all this pandemic has wrought and all that it has changed and all that it has revealed, we do not need to be stoic or utterly certain, so much as moved and ready to learn. As we lament the murder of yet one more black man and the racism that persists and persists and persists, we must be unwavering only about our commitment to indwell the lives of others and fight for their lives no less than our own. And Jesus reminds us, we're not alone in all of this. God is large, living, and uncontainable. You can't define this God. Put this God in your pocket in a neat and tidy package or on a leash and drag God around with you. Life with God is an adventure, a journey, a leap of faith into the unknown. So we have to cultivate among ourselves a love for the unknown, an expectation of that among even the most dedicated of Christians, to expect the unexpected, that there will always be surprises and jolts and shocks that come to us as God reveals more of God's self to us. How often have you shared in worship, fairly confident that you're on the right path in your discipleship and rather firm in your faith, only to be surprised by something you heard in a scripture or some word that challenged you in a sermon or some challenge that was offered to you from the comments of a fellow Christian? This is our triune God at God's best. And this is the mystery of God we celebrate today. God over and above us, God for us, God with us, God in us, God among us. One God, the God revealed to us in Jesus Christ, the God who in the waters of baptism makes us his own, the God who meets us at the table to give us bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, the God who is in us and among us, using us to share the good news of God's love and purpose for us all. God uses us, just as we are, doubts and all, to give witness to God's triune self, to serve, to praise, to help, to heal, to care, and to love. Right now, remaining in relationship with God, knowing that God refuses to leave us alone and committing to be in loving relationship with others, all others, will demonstrate not our doubtless faith, but the power of a triune God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, who is at work in our lives, in our daily living. And to borrow from one of my favorite hymns, as others look to us, I pray they will know we are Christians by our love. This is the heart of what we must do in God's name. Love born out in our daily words and in our daily actions. And again, I say, how good of God. Alleluia. Amen.